PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehon.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome again to another edition of the program. It's very nice to have you with us today, as always. We, of course, are in the summertime. Well, hopefully we are. We know that in certain parts of the world it's actually winter, i.e. Australia at the moment. So for those, but their winter is okay. You know, they're not going to get a few meters of snow and rain and everything. So an Australian winter is still much better than winters in other parts of the world. Anyway, very nice to have you with us today. And, of course, it is summer, so we are continuing this week with our summer series. Now, what do we have this week for our summer series? Well, let me tell you about it after we have our first piece of music today, Quincy Jones and his orchestra with his big hit, Soul Bossa Nova. Soul Bossa Nova, Quincy Jones and his orchestra beginning today's edition of Happy Station for this, the 22nd of July, 2018. I'm Keith Powell. Very nice to have you with me today. Now, we are in our summer series, and something that we started a few years ago is every summer, usually June, July, and August, we bring you some special programs within this program. And we, of course, are continuing this. Now, before we get on with what exactly we have today, I should mention that next week, the 29th of July, is going to be the July 90th anniversary of Happy Station for our 90th anniversary, which is coming up in November. And that's going to be on the 29th of July, which is next week. Now, for the past 4 weeks, we have been broadcasting a series that many of you enjoy, and that is called Tales of Dutch Formosa, a docudrama series that we did a few years ago. Today, however, we have something a little bit different, and we always try to do something a little bit different. Now, many of you, I suppose, I hope anyway, are familiar with a classic American television program called I Love Lucy, which ran on CBS for many years, that starred Lucille Ball, her then-husband, Desi Arnaz, Vivian Vance, and William Frawley. Now, the series was very successful, and even now, in 2018, is still continuing in syndication on a number of TV stations. So that's how successful it was. And even if you watch it now, yes, some of the fashions and sets, of course, are dated, but it nevertheless is still rather funny. Now, people may not know this, but I Love Lucy actually is from a radio series. Yes, there was a one-time I Love Lucy radio special that was produced for CBS, but I'm talking about the series that kind of created the whole thing, which was called My Favorite Husband, which was a series that Lucille Ball was doing for CBS Radio from 1948 until the beginning of I Love Lucy. It starred, of course, like I said, Lucille Ball and Richard Denning. Well, today on the program, we're going to be bringing you one episode of My Favorite Husband. Now, it's interesting to listen to it because if you just replace Richard Denning with Desi Arnaz, you can see right away and hear immediately the influence that that series had, well, on I Love Lucy, partially because very often it was pretty much the same writers. Now, before we get to that, let's have another piece of music. Lover's Roulette, Mel Torme.
What can I lose if I gamble again in the game of fools? If I take a chance on another romance, I know the rules. Here is my heart, you can start spinning the ball. Cover my bet, it's lover's roulette, winner take all. What can I lose when the cards are all dealt and the betting starts? What are the stakes when a joker can take the queen of hearts? Here is my life and my love, all I am worth. What can I lose when maybe I'll win heaven on earth? If I gamble again in the game of fools, but I'll take a chance on another romance, forget the rules. Here is my heart, you can start spinning the ball. Cover my bet, it's lover's roulette, winner take all. Cover my bet, it's lover's roulette, winner take all.
Lover's Roulette, Mel Torme here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Now, as I mentioned today, we are in our summer series and we're bringing all kinds of things. New programs, old programs, programs that some of you may have never heard before. And that's exactly what we're doing today. Here's an edition of My Favorite Husband starring Lucille Ball and Richard Denning. Now, I have a number of the episodes of My Favorite Husband, but this one happens to be one of my favorites, and it's absolutely, it'll give you a really good laugh.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, it's the Gay Family Series, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. Transcribed and brought to you by the Jell-O family of Red Letter Desserts.
Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings. Yum, yum, yum. Jell-O tap. The Oka puddings. Yes, sirree.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper. Two people who live together and like it. And now let's look in on the Coopers. Tonight we're going to ask you to go back with us to an evening 2 weeks ago. George and Liz are entertaining George's boss, Mr. Atterbury, and his wife, Iris. Dinner is over and the group has just settled down in the living room.
Oh, gee, that was a delicious dinner, Liz.
Ah, thank you, honey baby doll. That's why I love you. Because you say such sweet things to me. Give me a kiss.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Ooh. What a disgusting exhibition.
It is not, Rudolph. You should try acting like that.
All right. Come here, Liz.
Not with her.
Oh.
I'm sorry if I overdid it, Mr. Atterbury, but I'm feeling mellow toward George tonight. He promised to buy me the Easter hat I want.
Easter? Is it almost Easter time again?
Of course, Iris. It's a week from tomorrow.
I didn't know that.
Didn't know it? How could you miss all the ads?
So that's what's been cut out of our paper before I get it.
Lotus bud.
Tell me, girl, has Christmas been here yet?
Oh, you're a scream. George,
did you actually promise to buy Liz an Easter hat?
Well, sure.
Without putting up a struggle?
Yes.
You're something of an idiot, aren't you, boy?
Well, but what's the harm in buying a little hat?
When you've been married as long as I have, you'll know that a woman can parlay a bonnet into a whole spring wardrobe.
Liz, is that true?
Absolutely not. Although, come to think of it, the straw hat I picked out won't go with my last year's outfit at all.
I rest my case.
Sorry, Liz. I'm not going to get stung for a whole outfit.
But, George, what am I going to wear in the Easter parade?
A new hat, and that's all.
Well, all right. But I'm liable to collect a crowd.
You'll really be the grandest lady in the Easter parade.
Iris, what's happened? When George and I were first married, I got a complete new outfit every Easter.
So did I, girl.
George used to say he liked to show off my cute little figure.
So did Rudolph.
Whatever happened to those husbands?
The same thing that happened to those cute little figures.
Touché, Mr. Atterbury.
What do you mean? What happened to our figures? I'll have you know I can still wear a size 12.
Me too.
Iris, Liz isn't talking about her shoe size.
Neither am I. I have exactly the same measurements as the day George and I were married.
Oh, now, let's face it, honey. We've all put on a little weight in the interim.
That's not the only place.
Never mind. George, do you remember that blue dress I had the first Easter we were married?
Yeah.
Well, I still have it, and I'm going up right now and put it on, and it'll fit perfectly, too.
Oh, Liz, it doesn't matter.
I'll show you. Come on, Iris. I know that dress is here some... Oh, here it is.
Oh, look at the cut of it, Liz.
Yeah, it's been up here so long, it's back in style again.
You know, you're right.
The idea of George thinking I couldn't get into this dress. See how easily it slips down over my shoulders, and down over my waist, and down over my... down over my... down over my...
What's the matter, girl?
I've hit a snag.
Yeah.
Never mind. The dress has shrunk, that's all.
Girl, this is Iris. Save that propaganda for the boys. Admit it, you put on weight in the hips.
I prefer to think of it as a little avoirdupois on the back of my lap.
Well, whatever you call it, it's still in the way. The dress won't come down over your hips.
Look, maybe if you pull on the bottom of the skirt and I hold my breath, we can do it.
Well, all right, girl, I'll try.
Okay, pull. Pull some more.
Pulling. It's too bad we don't have a big shoehorn. Hold your breath.
Phew, I did it. Come on, let's go down and show George.
Hold it, girl.
What's the matter?
You have a bad case of gaposis.
Huh?
You aren't zipped up the side.
Oh, I thought it was too easy. Zip me up, please.
Okay. Yeah. There's something in the way.
What?
You. Hold your breath again.
Okay.
There. We made it. Now, don't dare exhale until we go down and show you to the boys. Come on.
George, boy, what's taking the girls so long up there?
Oh, who knows?
Here we are.
Liz, my gosh, you made it. You got into that dress.
She's got you, boy.
Oh. I'm amazed. Oh, I never thought you could do it. Did you have any trouble, Liz?
No, it was a cinch.
Gee, how long's it been since you wore that, Liz?
10 years.
Well, Liz's voice has changed.
Liz, is something wrong?
Nope.
Are you holding your breath?
No.
You might have known.
Gad, look at her face. I've never seen such an interesting shade of blue.
Okay, she's in the dress, George. I guess she proved her point. Come on, Liz, let's go take it off.
No, wait. I want to look at Liz some more. I think it's remarkable that she hasn't gained an ounce in 10 years.
Yes, come on, Liz.
You keep out of this, Lotus Bud.
You're sure you're not holding your breath, Liz?
No. Well, let's go.
No. Stick around, Liz. I want to admire you in that dress. Oh, just stand there and let me look at you.
Oh, dear.
Cheap material.
Well, Liz, I guess you'll have to admit you've gained a little weight.
Well...
Too bad, girls. George and I had just decided if you actually had the same figures you did 10 years ago, we were going to buy you both new Easter outfits.
You were?
You were?
We were.
Oh,
yes, we were.
Well, too bad. Better luck next Easter.
Oh, nuts.
Wait a minute. It's still a deal.
What do you mean?
There's still time. If Iris and I reduce until we have those measurements again, can we have new Easter outfits?
Yeah.
Well, can we?
Huh?
I guess we're in for it, George. But let's get a few things straight. Just what size do you girls plan to diet back to?
12.
Iris, how about you?
24.
Now, just a minute, Lotus Bud. You said you used to wear a 12, too.
12 times 2. That's 24.
Iris, either you get down to a 12 or the deal's off.
All right.
We'll go down to Miller's first thing tomorrow and have them put aside 2 size 12 suits.
Yeah, and we'll go along to see that they really put aside size 12.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you trust us.
And first thing tomorrow, we start eating watercress sandwiches.
Iris, I just thought of something.
What's that, girl?
If we get down to size 12 again, we'll be so gorgeous, we won't have to look for new suits. We can look for new men.
Well, say, speaking of men, you can make the men in your family happy tomorrow if you top off that Easter dinner with a grand and glorious Jell-O chocolate pie for dessert. Velvety, rich, and creamy, extra, extra chocolatey good, thanks to that exclusive Walter Baker chocolate blend. The easy recipe is on every package of Jell-O chocolate pudding and pie filling. Just add milk, and it takes about 5 minutes to cook. You'll find other exciting new recipes there, too, such as chocolate banana fluff and cool, refreshing chocolate mint pudding. All of them quick and easy, all of them with that just right flavor blend that suits everybody's taste. All 3 Jell-O puddings and pie fillings make wonderful puddings, make perfect pies. Chocolate, butterscotch, and vanilla. They're creamy, smooth, they're rich and velvety. They're easy as pie to fix. And all 3 gay new packages have delicious recipes on them that you'll certainly want to try. Your folks will love them. So whether you want pudding or whether you want pie, it's Jell-O puddings and pie fillings for the best in both. Yes, Jell-O puddings and pie fillings for red letter desserts.
And now back to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband. As we look in on the Coopers once again, we find them with the Atterberries in Miller's department store.
I think the suits are over this way, Iris.
No, I believe you're right, girl.
Why don't we go this other way? It's much shorter.
Shorter? That takes us all the way through the lingerie department.
I know.
Yeah, let's go that way.
Never mind, George.
Yeah, they have the cutest models around here.
Mr. Atterbury, you're wasting your time winking at that girl.
Oh, am I?
Yes, Rudolph.
If you pinch her, all you'll get is wax in your nails. She's a dummy.
Well, it takes one to know one.
It takes one to know one. I don't know.
May I help you?
Yes, we'd like to look at some suits.
Very well. What size?
12.
All right. I'll see what...
12? Yes, 12.
Oh? For your daughter?
Never mind, George. No, miss. The suit happens to be for me.
Oh.
I want a size 12, too.
You! You shut up, Rudolph.
Just show us the suits. We'll dye it down to fit them. Step this way, dreamer.
We have some of our nicest suits right here on the rack.
Oh, this one is just wonderful. Look, Iris, navy with a touch of white on the collar.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's do the next one. Oh, that's for me. Perfect.
Okay, I'll write it up. Well, we can't take them until they fit us.
There goes my commission.
Just write it up and put them aside.
Well, step over here and I'll make out a sales slip.
Ooh, isn't this exciting, Iris?
Isn't it strange, boy? They're never so happy as when they're spending our hard-earned money.
Incidentally, how much of our precious cabbage will this be?
Oh, I don't know. Look at the price tag.
Okay. Well, not too bad. $13.50.
Let me see that. Look again, boy. That's $135.
For a suit?
Jack, it at least ought to have two pair of pants.
Well, I can't stand a price like that. I'd better go and tell Liz the deal's off.
Well, wait, boy. We'll never have to buy those suits.
We won't?
No. Here are two suits, size 10. We'll put the size 12 tags on them.
Mr. Atterbury, you're a genius. There's no chance of our getting stuck.
No. Size 10. Iris couldn't even get her arm through the neck hole.
Jiggers, here they come.
Okay, George, it's all set. Now all we have to do is make the weight.
How much is this going to cost me, Liz?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask that. It's, $135.
Oh, is that all?
Who said that?
Mine's 150.
Very reasonable.
Oh, I get it. They don't think we'll be able to do it.
Well, we'll show them.
Yeah, come on, Iris. We'll start our diet right now.
But it's 4:00.
Well, let's go someplace and not have tea.
George, boy, I'm certainly glad you invited us over to dinner. For a week now, Iris hasn't served anything but her diet food.
Oh, at your house, too?
Oh, I've eaten so many carrots, I'm beginning to whistle at rabbits instead of women.
Have you lost weight?
3 times last night, I stood up and my pants stayed sitting down.
I wish they'd hurry with dinner.
Oh, here they come. Well, looks like they're starting off with hors d'oeuvres. Oh, this should be some meal.
I'm sorry we took so long fixing dinner, fellas.
Oh, I'll bet you boys are starved.
I'll say.
Here, Mr. Atterbury, have a piece of celery.
Oh, thanks.
George?
Mm. Oh, thanks.
One for me and one for Iris.
Hmm.
Mmm. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Liz, that was a fine dinner.
Thanks.
Okay!
Are you kidding, Liz?
Not. This is the way we lose weight. How much have you lost, Iris?
14 pounds.
Oh, I've only lost 12. Well, come on, dinner's over. Let's do the dish.
The housework's easier this way, isn't it?
I'll say.
George, I'm getting worried.
Yeah, so am I. If they lost that much weight, we're in trouble, even with those size 10 suits.
We better go back this afternoon and switch them again. They'll never make it down to a size 8.
Liz, why on earth did you have me meet you here in the malt shop? Are you trying to torture me?
No, I've got a plan. You said last night you lost 14 pounds, right?
Yeah.
You didn't lose half that much, did you?
No.
How much did you lose?
3/4.
Three quarters of 14?
No, three quarters of a pound. How much did you lose?
I gained a pound.
How come?
I don't know. But by the time we lose enough to wear those suits, we'll have to be wheeled in the Easter parade.
So?
So I called that sales girl at Miller's this morning, and I made a deal with her. She'll switch the suits to a size 14 and put the size 12 tags on them.
Oh, Liz, you're a genius. Let's order something gooey right now.
I already did. I ordered two double fudge sundaes, smothered in whipped cream, nuts, and cherries.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Those are for me. What do you want? The same.
Waiter, double up on those sundaes and give me a milkshake while I'm waiting.
Miss Evans, could I see you a minute?
What is it, Mr. Morgan? I was just going out to lunch.
Keep your eyes open. There's been another outbreak of shoplifting in the dress and suit departments.
I haven't seen a thing.
Well, I don't wonder. Their technique is to put the clothes on under their own dresses and walk out that way.
Oh.
Well, you run along. I'll keep an eye on your department while you're gone.
I'm looking for the sales girl who waited on me. Miss Evans, I think her name was.
Well, I'm sorry. She's out to lunch. Can someone else help you?
No, thanks. We'll just look around by ourselves. Is he gone, Iris?
Yeah.
Good. Then let's grab two size 14 suits and see if they fit us.
Okay. Here are the 14s.
Good. Now, let's go in the dressing room. These ought to fit us easy.
Oh, sure.
I'll just slip this skirt on and... Then the jacket. And I'll... button it up.
I think we can get into these.
Oh, dear. Look at me, Iris.
It is skin tight, isn't it?
It's tighter than that. I can move in my skin. How does yours fit?
Which way are the 16s?
Well, come on. Let's go out and try them. I wonder if they have a navy blue tent with a white collar.
16 should be right along here. What's the matter, girl? Did you see yourself in the mirror?
No, look over there. George and Mr. Atterbury.
So what?
So do you want them to find us in these suits? They'll know what we're up to.
Oh, you're right, girl. What do we do?
They saw us. Quick, back into the dressing room.
Okay.
We got to get out of these clothes.
We don't have time.
Iris, come out here. Liz, I want to see you right now.
We don't have time to change.
What do we do?
We'll have to put our dresses on right over these suits.
I'll give you three, Iris. That goes for you too, Liz.
Just a second.
Are you ready, Iris?
Wait a minute.
Okay. I feel bulgier than ever. Well, here goes.
Hi, George.
Hello.
What are you two doing here?
I'll bet I know.
What? Who are you?
I'm the manager. These women are shoplifters.
Shoplifters?
What? Now, just a minute. I'm Rudolph Atterbury, president of the Sheraton Falls National Bank. And
just a moment, Mr. Atterbury, before you blow your top. Do you know what those women have on under their dresses? No. Do you? I certainly do.
What?
What?
Well, it's an old gag. They put new merchandise on under their dress and walk out with it.
Preposterous. Isn't it, Iris? Isn't it, Liz?
Are you girls out of your heads? Have you really got stolen merchandise on?
Well, sort of.
Oh, gag!
Look, we can explain, really. Just get us out of this.
Hey, wait a minute, Mr. Atterbury. Listen.
Genius.
Look, girls, if we get you out of this, will you forget about the Easter suits?
No, that's not fair.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's enough of that whispering. Say, what's your connection with these women anyway, Mr. Atterbury?
I never saw them before in my life.
What?
Neither did I. Oh, they look like shady characters to me.
Never saw us before. Listen, this big fat tub of lard...
Wait, happened...
Tub?
Let me tell Iris. We are shoplifters.
What? What?
What? I'm tired of doing all the dirty work for these masterminds.
You masterminds?
Sure. Fagin Atterbury and Blackie Cooper. They made us pose as their wives while they trained us. First it was picking pockets. We got pretty good.
Yeah. Remember that cute little baby kangaroo you picked up at the zoo?
Yeah, his mother never felt a thing.
Then we worked on bigger and bigger things, until one day at a carnival, Liz made me a dare.
She did it, too. But the next 3 months were misery, trying to hide out with a hot merry-go-round on our hands.
Now, that's enough. Iris, Liz, are you going to tell the truth or not?
Why, Fagin, we're telling the truth. Raise my right hand and hope to have a new Easter outfit, including gloves, shoes, and hat.
That goes double for me.
What do you say, George?
We're stuck.
Mr. Manager, my good fellow, will you forget this incident if we buy each of the girls a whole new outfit?
Well...
How about 2 Easter outfits each?
How about 3? We'll make it 4.
Oh, shut up! There's 2 outfits in it today.
2 outfits. Okay.
Yeah, I suggest you choose them from this department over here, where we keep our more expensive suits.
Happy Easter, Iris.
Just right.
Yes, friend, just right.
Yes, friend,
that glorious just right flavor blend of Jell-O chocolate pudding.
And that glorious just right flavor blend makes grand and glorious chocolate pie, too. So extra, extra chocolatey rich, you'll say you never tasted anything better. All 3 Jell-O puddings and pie fillings make wonderful pies. Chocolate, butterscotch, and vanilla. You'll find recipes on the gay new packages for chocolate meringue pie and butterscotch pecan pie and fluffy rich vanilla banana pie. And you'll find lots of exciting pudding treats, too. All delicious, all quick and easy. Because with Jell-O puddings and pie fillings, you just add milk and they take about 5 minutes to cook to velvety smooth perfection. You better stock up on all 3 flavors first thing next Monday, because it's Jell-O puddings and pie fillings for red letter desserts.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's transcribed program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The parts of Mr. and Mrs. Atterbury were played by Gail Gordon and Bea Benaderet. Others in the cast were Frank Nelson and Shirley Mitchell. Be sure to watch for Lucille Ball as the hilarious cosmetic dealer in Columbia's picture, The Fuller Brush Girl.
Does coffee, coffee, coffee make you nag, nag, nag?
It's the caffeine in coffee that really does it. The caffeine in coffee that turns an angel into a shrew.
So if coffee, coffee, coffee makes you nag, nag, nag...
Switch to Sanka Coffee, the regular or the instant. Sanka Coffee has 97% of the caffeine taken out. Sanka Coffee can't make you nervous or jittery. Sanka Coffee can't steal your sleep.
So if coffee, coffee, coffee makes you nag, nag, nag...
Switch to Sanka Coffee, Sanka Coffee... Sanka Coffee.
Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by...
Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O pat. The Alka pudding. Yes, sirree.
The name Jell-O is a registered trademark of General Foods. Bob Lamond speaking.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
An episode, a full-length episode of My Favorite Husband, including the original commercials, starring Lucille Ball and Richard Denning. Now, there was a time, of course, when programs were live, but that program was, well, it was transcribed. It was pre-recorded and then broadcast at a later date. Now, it's interesting, actually, if you're somebody who's really into, say, older radio programs, dramas and comedies, suspense and so on, you will notice, of course, that program availability, a lot of course, have gone over the time. But programs that were recorded in advance and transcribed, like that one, actually have still existed and continue to be around today. So yeah, nevertheless, a lot of fun, a lot of fun. What else do we have coming up for the month of August for our summer series? Well, I'm not going to say any more, but we do have some other interesting things. Now, I mentioned last week on the program that it was something that actually had been recommended to us because a while ago, I can't remember exactly when, but I played the signature tune to I Love Lucy, the single that was recorded by Desi Arnaz. And somebody suggested, well, why not play a full edition of My Favorite Husband? Now, we heard some of the names that were mentioned in the production. And if you watch an episode of I Love Lucy, you'll see that those are the same names that were involved in the television series. Jess Oppenheimer, Madame Pugh, and others. So, same people, and they brought the idea over to television, which was a very good idea, I think. But it's a shame that many more people don't know about My Favorite Husband, because it is fun, of course, to listen to. Bernadette, who was also who played Iris on the program, well-known television actress in the 1950s, and appeared in many, many things, including on the Burns and Allen show, which was also on CBS television, as Gracie Fields' friend and George Burns' foe, if you can put it that way. But nevertheless, a lot of fun indeed. Alrighty, alrighty, alrighty. We haven't had that much music on the program today, so let's try to squeeze in as much as possible. Let's have now 10 guitars, Engelbert Humperdinck.
They come from miles around to hear them play a melody. Beneath the stars, my 10 guitars will play a song for you. And if you're with the one you love, this is what you do. Oh, dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars. And very soon you know just where you are. Through the eyes of love you'll see a thousand stars. Oh, when you dance, dance, dance to my 10 So give them all a pretty girl and they will start to play. Beneath the stars, my 10 guitars will play a song for you. And if you're with the one you love, this is what to do. Oh, dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars. And very soon stop!
Engelbert Humperdinck and 10 Guitars. Now, here's a little trivia question. Now, this is a little trivia question, of course, that a lot of people might not get. But if somebody is a recording geek and into really good, high-quality classical or jazz recordings or any type of music recordings on vinyl or audio files, whatever you want to call them, this is the kind of question that you will have interest in. And people who are not will also have interest when you find out it is interesting. I don't know. We'll take a gander at it, all right? Now, this was something that came up a while ago when I was talking to a couple of sound mastering engineers. One of them is retired and used to master recordings for Deutsche Grammophon, the well-known German classical label. And the other one is still working and mastering recordings also for Universal and Deutsche Grammophon and other labels as well. And we got into the discussion of vinyl records, because that's what they do, that's what they focus on. And we have seen vinyl records, of course, kind of making a bit of a comeback over the last few years. I mean, they never really went away, but we're starting to see, of course, sales have been going up on them, whereas other music formats have been dropping. And we started discussing about how when you're mastering an LP, you have to do it very differently than you would, than let's say, for a digital format. And I had asked the question very innocently. I said, just out of curiosity, what do you think is the most difficult piece of music to actually master for LP? And I was actually very surprised with the answer. Now, a few days ago on a social media Facebook page about LPs, it was a question that I posed after I found out the answer. And we kind of got a discussion going, and people were recommending and suggesting ideas of what I actually thought would be the case. But it turns out actually be completely different from what I thought. Now, as you know, if you look at an LP, when it's turning at 33 RPM, the speed, of course, from the inside of the disc is different from the outside of the disc. Now, the program that we took a listen to today, My Favorite Husband, which was transcribed. So this was not recorded on tape, but it was recorded on transcription discs. In fact, it was recorded on two transcription discs. And that had to do with the speed. The speed and the wider grooves, and they were on 16-inch at the time. But they were recorded on two. Now, many radio programs from that period that were recorded on transcription discs always, especially if they were 30 minutes or an hour. So a 30-minute program would be two discs, a one-hour program would be four discs. And how they would do it is, say, disc one would play or record from the outside inward. Disc two, this is the clue, disc two would play from the inward outward, and disc three from outward inward, and disc four from inward outward. And that was done for a specific reason, because the frequency level at the beginning of an LP or a transcription disc, and the case may be with My Favorite Husband, is going to be very different. So, certain sounds are going to be very, very different indeed. So, if you take an LP, and if you look at the way they would program LPs, very soft numbers sometimes, they would try to put them at the end of a side rather than the beginning. Of course, that's not always the case, right? But they would try to do that. So the question was, what is the most difficult recording to master? And I was surprised to find out, actually, it is Maurice Ravel's Bolero. Now, if you're not familiar with it, if you do a search online, you can listen to it. It's around 16, 17 minutes long, and it starts off incredibly softly and then ends really, really loudly. And that was always a big challenge for those who were mastering discs, to make sure that the sounds of the high notes, the loud notes, didn't get distorted. But that problem has kind of been resolved now with a more recent recording from 2012, I think it is, 2012, from the German label Tassette. And what they have done, instead of the album playing from the outside inward, the bolero and the B-side of this LP play from the inside outward. When you listen to it, you notice a huge difference. A huge difference. Not a little, but an absolutely huge difference with almost anything that came before. So if you are into LPs, I would suggest you go and listen to it. And if you have a really good sound system, you will notice the difference immediately. It is absolutely wonderful. Anyway, we are out of time on the program today. So if you want to get in touch with us to let us know what you think of the program, pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. Next week is another program in our anniversary series for the 90th anniversary this year, so we hope you tune into that. To end off today, we're going to end off with Vic Shun and his orchestra with The Band Played On. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Palmer wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.